According to census data, only about 2% of Americans consider themselves to be multiracial. But a new report out today from Pew suggests that the real number of people with multiracial backgrounds is more than three times that. It also shows that the number of people who identify as multiracial is growing three times faster than the population as a whole. The numbers speak to the idea that racial identity can often be subjective, a lot of different factors going into how a person actually identifies. For example, the largest multiracial group appears to be people with European and Native American roots, but they're the people least likely to describe themselves as multiracial. Here to talk with us about the increase in multiracial backgrounds in the United States and how we identify is Aaliyah Saperstein, Assistant Professor of Sociology at Stanford. Aaliyah, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So this report says multiracial adults, about almost 7% of the population. U.S. Census data says about 2%. Why this dramatic difference?
Well, it's a good lesson that sociologists, demographers, and survey researchers have known for a long time, which is it matters how you measure. It matters the kinds of questions that you ask people. You can think of an analogy of asking people if they want a policy of affirmative action or asking people if they support racial preferences. Depending on how you phrase the question, you're going to get different answers, and the same is true here.
Well, and with talking about race, we could mean genetic ancestry. We could mean how we identify ourselves. We could mean how other people identify us, and each of those could lead to three or more different answers for the same person. So does that make it particularly difficult to try to study the concept of race and multiracial identities?
Absolutely. But I think, at least for me, it's a really exciting time that now more and more people are realizing that those different questions actually give us different answers rather than thinking that there is just one true answer about race for everyone.
Are we having less of a fixed concept of what race is? I mean, this multiracial category in the census is pretty new.
Yeah, actually, the census doesn't use a multiracial category. They allow people to mark more than one of the existing categories, but just being able to do that is definitely new. And I think it, you know, in some ways, we're seeing people adapt to that over time. But it is interesting, I think, in the report that they find that, you know, there are people who will say, I'm white and black, or I'm white and Asian, but maybe only about a third of those people will say, I'm multiracial, you know, sort of identify with that more umbrella category.
So when we talk about race in a report like this new one from Pew, what do we mean? What does the word race mean in this context?
I think it depends on which question you're talking about, right? So one of the things that Pew asked people was whether or not they knew whether any of their earlier ancestors were a different race than you know. So if I identify as white, for example, do I know if I have any ancestors, even going back past my great-grandparents, that might have been classified or identified as a different race than me? And so that's going to give a very different answer than how do I think other people see me, or you know, how would I identify myself, how my parents identify, how, you know, my children might identify, that sort of thing.
Now, when this report says the number of multiracial people is increasing in the United States, one of the fastest growing sectors, do we mean there are more people who are now identifying themselves as multiracial, but the same genetic definition of race, or are there actually more people that we'd all agree are multiracial than there used to be?
That's an excellent question, and I think that's one of the ways that sometimes the topic of multiraciality gets a little bit confused. When people say that the multiracial population is growing faster than some other racial populations, they tend to be thinking about it in terms of the children who have parents who themselves would identify with different races. And you have to think about in the census, children are most likely going to be identified by their parents. So we don't really ask children what they think about themselves until they move out into their own household and get to fill out the form for themselves. So the population that's growing very quickly are the children in families where the parents are of different races. But as this report shows, we don't really know how those children are going to identify as they become adults. And the current adults who we might be able to describe as multiracial by their backgrounds don't necessarily identify that way when asked that question directly.
We're talking about multiracial identity in the United States. A new report just out from the Pew Research Center says there's a lot more multiracial people in the United States than at least the U.S. Census Bureau claims. Complicated issue we're sorting out with Aaliyah Saperstein from Stanford University, sociologist there. We'll bring in a Wisconsin perspective now. We've got Jennifer Sims, a visiting professor of sociology at UW River Falls. Jennifer, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, in this report, it talks about on a national level how people's multiracial identity works out. What kind of differences, looking at this report, do you see in how Wisconsin thinks of these issues?
The main difference I saw with regards to national and Wisconsin is, as Aaliyah mentioned, the Pew Center report asked for any known ancestors. And so it wasn't surprising then when I saw that mixed Native Americans were the largest group. And so scholars really kind of separate out between two different types of mixed-race Native Americans, those who have more of a symbolic understanding, there's, quote, family rumors of a Native American ancestor, and then those who have more of a lived experience, those who participate in cultural events, visit or live on the reservation, registered with the tribe, face discrimination for being Native. And one thing that I found when interviewing people around the country was that here in Wisconsin, there are more people with that lived experience that do have the tribal registry, that are connected with the tribe, versus just kind of saying, yes, I know there are Native Americans somewhere in my background. But here in Wisconsin, people really still have that tangible connection.
Right. That was one of the findings of the report. This is the biggest category, biggest multiracial category, but few people identify as multiracial there. Different in Wisconsin, you're saying.
Right, right. I'm saying those that I interviewed within Wisconsin were able to describe cultural events they went to, visits to the reservation or family members on the reservation, versus mixed-race Americans who mentioned, yes, I know there's Cherokee or I know there's Apache in my background, and other regions of the country, California, in southern states, kind of knew of a rumor of an ancestor but didn't have that actual connection that I found with people here in Wisconsin.
And you mentioned facing discrimination. That's not just for people with mixed Native American and European American identities. How about people with African American or Asian American backgrounds who are multiracial? Do they face the same discrimination that we associate African Americans facing, or how does that fit in?
Right. Well, each different category, I suppose, of mixed-race person faces a different type of discrimination based on different things. With regards to Wisconsinites, the main thing that I noticed with regards to the report and Wisconsin in particular was that here in Wisconsin, mixed-race people are seen as non-white, not just in a negative way, but also in a positive way or a neutral way, but they are seen as non-white. The report noted that white Asian Americans in particular are kind of experiencing the world as white, but the white Asian Wisconsinites I interviewed did not experience the world as white. They talked very much about how here in Wisconsin versus other places like California, they are seen as non-white and people react to them first and foremost as non-white, which was in direct contrast kind of to what on a national level white Asians experience.
And last time we talked to you here on the show, Jennifer, we talked about the what are you question.
Yes.
In Wisconsin, people multiracial not seen as fitting into a fixed category. And this is one of the most common questions, I guess, people hear.
Mm-hmm, they do. It's interesting, my new research, my dissertation was on the what are you question, but my new research here is asking non-mixed Wisconsinites, just asking general Wisconsinites, what race do you think this woman is, you know, based on pictures. And the mixed-race women, surprisingly, Wisconsinites are not marking or saying, I think this woman is mixed or biracial or multiracial. They are sorting them either into white, black, or Latino, which is an ethnicity, so that's very interesting, or they're not answering the question at all, but kind of the word mixed race, the multiracial identity term, is just not readily coming to mind for Wisconsinites.
And Aaliyah Saperstein, let's bring you back in on this conversation. The what are you question, big here in Wisconsin. Is that true across the nation? We just, people on a daily basis don't know how to categorize multiracial people and maybe awkwardly try to figure it out?
I think that's absolutely true. I think Jennifer's right. And I think we see that in the report that, you know, across all the three major multiracial groups that they highlight in the report, white, black, white, Asian, and white American Indian, you know, white Asians were the highest at saying that other people saw them as multiracial. At 20% of white Asians thought that other people saw them as multiracial. But that's not, you know, that's actually a small minority then of all white Asians who think that when other people look at them, they actually recognize, you know, they're not just trying to fit them into one box. But I do think across most of the country and for most multiracial experience, most people with a multiracial experience that they constantly feel like people are trying to fit them in a box. And that's what the what are you question is about.
We are talking about multiracial identity here in the United States. Aaliyah Saperstein is with us from Stanford University, sociologist there here in Wisconsin, visiting professor of sociology at UW River Falls, Jennifer Sims, and maybe with you. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you consider yourself to be multiracial, or do you know you have ancestry of multiple races, different races, but you've picked one or the other to identify as, or maybe you don't think about the category at all? What aspects of your life experience go into how you identify racially? Here in Wisconsin, we have a significant Native American population. Report we're talking about from Pew says people with white and Native American backgrounds least likely to consider themselves multiracial. Why do you think that would be? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're continuing our conversation now about multiracial identity here in the United States. New Pew study out suggesting the number of Americans with multiracial backgrounds, about 7% in the United States. That's three times more than census data previously suggested. Kind of a complicated issue here. To help us sort it out, we have Aaliyah Saperstein, sociologist at Stanford University, Jennifer Sims, visiting professor of sociology at UW River Falls. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you consider yourself multiracial? How does that affect your lives? How do you see yourself? How do other people treat you? Do they pick a category and put you in it, or what? Call in at 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to our callers now. We've got Elizabeth on the line in Wisconsin Dells. Elizabeth, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, I'm actually half Hispanic. My father has roots from Spain, and my mom is from Wisconsin. She's Scandinavian, you know, so the whole melting pot. But I've always wondered why Hispanic or Latino, Latina, ethnicity and not a race. It's
always... Gotcha, Elizabeth, you're breaking up there, but why Hispanic and ethnicity on places like the census, I believe, not a race? So, Aaliyah, making our complicated conversation even a little more complicated, how do we fit that into the Hispanic category into our discussion of multiracial identity?
Elizabeth's question is an important one, and it's one that the census is grappling with as they prepare for 2020. And one of the things they are looking at is trying to ask the question in a way that allows people to see their Hispanic background as very similar to the way that white people or black people or Asian people would think of it, that it is part of their racial background and not just their ethnicity or some combination of their race and their ethnicity. And it's interesting, the Pew report actually asked people, once they identified as Hispanic, they asked them, you know, do you think of this as your race? Do you think of this as your ethnicity? Both? You know, are you not sure? And about two-thirds of people, of Hispanic people in the survey, said they either think of it as their race or they think of it as both their race and their ethnicity. So I think that's something that, you know, the census and other surveys are going to have to grapple with, that, you know, it's important to reflect how people want to identify themselves and, you know, what being Hispanic means to them.
And Jennifer, I don't know if you got into a Hispanic identity in your research on multiracial identity in Wisconsin. If so, what did you hear about that?
Right. So not in my previous interviews. It was not addressed very much. But in my current work on racial perception, Wisconsinites are marking the pictures of women that they view, some of them as Latino or as Hispanic, even though all verbal and written instructions say, please mark the race you think this woman is. It's interesting that they are pulling that term when asked about race. And so we sociologists see Hispanic as an ethnicity presently, but it's being racialized, which means the category is becoming more defined as we understand races than as we understand ethnicities. And as Aaliyah said, for two-thirds of Latinos, they already see themselves as racialized as Latino.
And I think I've seen on forums categories like boxes to check, like non-black Hispanic. So that Hispanic could be somebody who outsiders would identify as Black or African American or white or European American or Hispanic as a race of itself. Aaliyah, how do we sort that out?
Well, I think one of the things that the census is testing and that the Pew report used actually in the way that they asked people about race was to give Hispanic or Latino as a category alongside white, Black, Asian, Native American, et cetera. And that way you could mark Hispanic and Black if you wanted to you know, indicate that you are Afro-Latino, for example. Or you could mark white and Hispanic if you wanted to indicate, perhaps like Elizabeth, that she has background, you know, that her Hispanic background is actually from Spain. Or you could just mark Hispanic if you did, in fact, want to say that, you know, this is how I identify. I identify as Latin American. I identify with Latin American people, not with whites or Blacks.
Go back to our callers now. We've got Cynthia on the line in Milwaukee. Cynthia, hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Cynthia?
Yes. I just wanted to mention how sometimes even for college applications or even to filling out a job application, it's really hard to come to terms sometimes with yourself. And sometimes I find myself asking, what am I? You know I have Asian background, but mostly I identify myself as a Latino. When other people that are in my same family that identify themselves just as Mexican and nothing else. So, you know, it's a thing. It's, you know, it's one of those situations where, you know, you want to identify yourself as something, yet sometimes that option is not available for you know, for you to pick.
Well, and that's on the college application, the job application, Cynthia. And do you, we mentioned that question earlier that a lot of multiracial people get, evidently. What are you? Do you encounter that question in your daily life?
Oh, definitely. Most likely. Because when people look at me, they always ask me, where are you from? You know, I never, I don't think I ever felt like I could be from here, even if, you know, even if I was. So many times they're like, you must be Indian or you must be, you know, Filipino. So
they're picking for you.
Exactly. So many times it's like, oh, don't, you know, answer that question yourself. And sometimes I play this game where I ask them and I tell them, well, take a guess. And that's where a lot of, you know, these other ethnicities and other nationalities come from. So one time in particular, this guy asked me what country was I from, and jokingly I told him, "Oh, I'm from Colombia, but I'm from Mexico." And he's like, "Oh yeah, I've been to that part of Mexico before."
All right, Cynthia, thanks a lot for that call. She has fun with it. Not everyone does, Jennifer. In interviewing people, do people get fed up with the "What are you?" question?
Oh, yes, definitely, especially when the question comes from strangers, people who are not interested in getting to know you as a person. They just can't place you based on sight. One Wisconsin woman who's Black, white, Native American discussed how people will just stop her on the street or when she's picking up her children and won't even know her and say, excuse me, I just want to know, what are you? And they're not interested in getting to know her as a person or as a friend. They just saw her and were confused and felt that it was fine to interrupt her daily life to satisfy their curiosity. And she, when she was younger, she said she used to enjoy it. It made her special, got her, you know, attention. And after 30 years of this, she's definitely now fed up with it.
Cynthia, thanks for that call. We're talking about multiracial identity, a new study out from the Pew Research Center on how many people are multiracial, how many people consider themselves to be. Aaliyah Saperstein is with us from Stanford University. Jennifer Sims from UW River Falls. Another part of Cynthia's question, Aaliyah, she doesn't know what to do on forms. And that's a big question. We're talking about the census, job application, university application. We're taking what we're discovering here this half hour is a really complicated, a fluid question, and trying to build categories on it that we can measure stuff with.
Yeah, I think the hardest part is, I think we have these categories, but in many situations, we don't know why people are asking. And so what I heard in some of what Cynthia was saying was, I don't know what I should put because I don't know what you're going to do with that information. And I think that's a step that we still need to take, is kind of, you know, why is it that we're asking people? Is it just so that they can identify? In which case, Cynthia should be able to say whatever she wants, right? She should be able to check as many boxes as she wants. She should be able to write in whatever she wants. But, sometimes it may be helpful to know, well, And I think the report highlights that some, you know, that a small proportion of people did identify in particular ways on their college applications, presumably because they thought that identifying in a particular way was going to be more advantageous than identifying in another way. And I think that conversation is a much thornier one. Is it that we're trying to reward particular answers? Is it that we're going to allot money differently if people give particular answers? I think a lot of people are wary about what that data is going to be used for.
Well, if I could ask maybe kind of a wonky question to both of you, there's this new study, there's the census, all these different efforts to try to measure what multiracial identity is, how many people are part of it, what it means. What don't we know, Aaliyah, that you wish we could know? What measures would you like to see that would help you in your research, maybe help us as a society?
I think it really, I'll be curious to hear what Jennifer thinks too, but I think it really depends on what you're most interested in. I think if we're concerned about discrimination and the way that people are treated by others, then we need to know how other people see them. I think that was something that came out really, it was really interesting in the report that, you know, depending on whether people saw the multiracial people in the study could say, oh, other people see me as white, other people see me as black, other people see me as Asian or Hispanic or multiracial. And I thought it was really striking that even the people who said they were seen as multiracial still felt like they experienced discrimination in restaurants. Were unfairly stopped by police, for example, which, of course, made me think of Tony Robinson in Wisconsin. But, you know, I think we need to think about the information, you know, the question may be different depending on the information that we're looking for.
And Jennifer, you do interviews, you use numerical type data. What do you want to know? What do you wish we as a society knew?
Well, the main thing that I always wonder about studies and that actually the Pew Research answered this time is change over time. We often act like racial identity is the set thing from birth to death, and it's for a lot of people, not just mixed race people, but for a lot of people, it's not. Your identity changes. The strength of your attachment to that identity changes, and so I always wonder when there's a report that says this many people are this particular race. Well, you know, how has that changed over the lifetime? So I was very happy to see that the Pew Center did address that, and I also love to see data on why people identify a certain way. They had quotes in this Pew Center report saying, well, people see me this way, this is why I identify, or I don't know this side of the family, or I do have this cultural experience, and this is why I'm picking that. And so I think that data is very rich and very valuable as well, because both of those are going to show us that race is not this biological thing, but this social construction. And so those questions change over time. Why people identify really get at the socially constructed nature of race.
Thanks to both of you, Jennifer Sims and Aaliyah Saperstein, sociologists, talking about multiracial identity in the U.S. You can keep sharing your experiences on the Central Time Facebook page.